Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mod State Podcast. This is episode 149. And look, we're just going to dive. So sometimes... How are you, by the way, my friend? I'm sorry.
My eye is starting to twitch.
There's some precasts we do that we don't really talk too much. It just sort of organically happens. We're like, maybe we should better hit the record button. So for all of those who are listening out there in all corners of the globe, we appreciate that. And we probably got a rare one for you here tonight. So, okay, so picking up where we left off on precast, I had sent you an article on over Facebook, and it's actually from the ACLU.org, and the US's largest organization of lawyers agree that the courts must stop treating people like ATMs. So essentially what this is the American Bar Association House of Delegates voted unanimously to adopt 10 guidelines in ending debtors prisons and related practices that criminalize poor people. So and ironically, before we even talked about this as a topic on precast, you kind of launched into something that goes hand in hand with this. And, you know, you brought this up right at the beginning, when we started talking. You said, look, I think you'd be hard pressed to call you conservative. And I said, look, even if I were to label you conservative or center right, there's a lot of social justice issues that you swing far left for, and it's hard in these day and ages with these two-party systems, left, right, Democrat, Republican, that it's annoying to be categorized as one of those things.
Yeah, because automatically I'm not welcome at 2 out of 5 tables.
Sure.
And that's just a fact.
Well, I think you're probably right in 2018.
They don't know me. If they did, it'd be different, but if given a choice of me or somebody with more rational views, that's automatically how they've gone, all right, this guy's...
Yeah, and it becomes confusing for people like you and I that...
You know what? Conservatives did that to their own integrity.
Congratulations. I think now's the time to elaborate on a bit of that. And one of the things you brought up... And look, to preface this entire thing, I think it's a shame that someone that has a political ideology... might not be welcome at a table without knowing that individual, but...
Hey, I'm not saying that conservatives shouldn't be welcome.
No, but...
I'm talking about true in-the-line conservatives here, all right? But you cannot be for progressive social programs while keeping them fiscally responsible. And I mean that genuinely, not tongue-in-cheek, like Speaker Ryan and his ilk. When they say that, that means, oh, okay, people are about to get screwed. Mm. Like, this work... requirement. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, well, they've been trying to pass this in Wisconsin. Governor Scott was trying to get that
already. Tighten the screws on this.
Yeah. So, explain this a little bit, because this was grinding your gears, and it's something that's pissed me off. But I will give you a little counter to it on a thought process I had after you kind of talk about it. So I'll let you go.
It's really not something that I mean. This is a podcast in and of itself. We discussed this, but
100%.
This is maybe a portion of it can be said here, and that. Yes, I do think it is ridiculous that we are so fiscally behind on some programs, but I quantify myself as a pragmatic idealist if I must be an ideologue of any kind, all right? With that, everybody's human. I have a heart. I also have a set of beliefs that I'm not going to launch into tonight that, yes, they color the manner in which I view things like the founding documents, the Constitution. But I also am wanting to finish my education in economics, and I'm not going to get my broker's license and saying, deuces, I'll see y'all after the holidays. I'll be on Wall Street. I'm not doing that for a reason. Okay, there's better things. It's not that many, but I've actually got people that are rather aggravated and not speaking to me right now because of my efforts at Mod State. Now, nobody has said anything like it's because I've sacrificed my integrity, and that's why I stand so firmly behind this. You know, I'm sure everybody's thinking, come on, Davini, make a joke. Well, this is actually something that I'm quite passionate about. And if you disagree with me, I'm not going to get angry at you and want you to leave where I'm at. But at the same time, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? And anybody, I'm going to put it more politely than I said at precast, but anybody that looks at me and in all earnest says, well, we need to do something about this, I'm going to kind of, half of the country couldn't be bothered to vote. We got presidential speechwriters like Stephen Miller saying, well, it's not like we're talking about immigrants from Denmark and Germany here. Okay, so what is that supposed to mean, Stephen? Thanks a lot.
Do you read his uncle's repudiation?
I really, there are so many good things to listen to, to read, so many genuine people, unfortunately, not very many of them in D.C. right now or at any other time, in all fairness to the current administration.
Mm-hmm.
Some of its staff. Okay, I'm not comparing like for like for the president. Okay, but nothing has changed in my mind, really. At the end of the day, the song remains the same. It's just that it's everywhere now, and it's so brazen, and it's all around. I mean, this business of showing up. Oh, what is a counter protest? And that's where Trump was coming. The president, excuse me, was coming from when he tweeted. In my mind, I don't think what he said about Charlottesville a year ago, I think it was a year ago, what, yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yeah, it was just about that.
I don't think that that was intended to be racist, what he said, because he said, I think that there were good people on both sides. I don't think that's actually what he meant, in all seriousness, and I'm not being Rudy Giuliani here. I think what he was getting at, if you wanted to translate this in logical terms, is saying, okay, well, this, what is a counter-protest group, showed up and got violent. You know, they engaged, they didn't avoid a fight at an organized event that was done, planned ahead of time.
Yeah.
And they have the right, as the state of Colorado correctly said, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, whatever, they have the right to peacefully assemble in public. I'm sorry. And I agree with that.
And it's, I mean, that's a hard thing to swallow, if you will, in the terms of
like it.
And I also mean this, just in
the early 20th century, say that the purpose of the First Amendment is to protect that speech, which I hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just hard to maybe swallow the pill that the president of the United States, when he said this, wasn't really in terms of good Americans. Like, I don't know.
He would struggle to define that.
I think I'm on the same playing field as you, or the same page, in terms that I don't think that's necessarily what he meant, to be that overtly racist, or not racist, but just very pro alt-right. I don't think that was the point. I think when he was briefed about that, because he would have been briefed,
been like Ben Shapiro racist.
No, he would have been briefed and said, look, there was alt-right that showed up. They were protesting peacefully, or I don't know, peacefully. They're being antagonistic, but not necessarily like violent. And then there was another side that showed up, and there was some violence, some counter-protest. And again, I don't think that he was outwardly supporting the alt-right. I just think it came out that, look, there's people on both sides, and people, what he probably could have said is, that maybe would be harder.
I don't think the left was trying to be peacemakers in this situation.
No, I don't think they were.
I think that's fair. No, I'm saying that's what he could have said and gotten away with.
Sure, I think so. Or like, hey, look, there were some bad actors on both sides.
First actual blow that day was from the left group.
Yeah, but you know what?
What got said.
There's a huge majority of the people in the United States that say, look, there's no place for that kind of language in our country today, and I realize that's a slippery slope. However, okay, so I think most of us
in a public square and behind ropes, does a white supremacist have the right to say the N-word?
Does he? I mean, he does, doesn't he? I mean,
you tell me.
I mean, it's not a good look, but
it's not what I asked you.
No, I mean, I don't think that is an illegal act. And maybe it's 11 o'clock at night and I'm crazy, and it is, but
I think it's a foolish act. I think it's a foolish act that I don't want to be anywhere around.
No, I don't either.
That's why I was glad. I'm sorry. I'm glad the Confederate monuments are gone from downtown New Orleans. Would I have done it the way they did it? No, but I see the point.
Yeah.
Okay. And in retrospect, I'm sorry. There were some antagonistic people from the left that showed up. But you know what both groups had in common? The pro-Confederates, the neo-Nazis, whatever you want to call them, and I do know some Southern sympathizers that are not racist.
Yeah, it's a I get that. I get that too.
Because, you know, there was actually one guy on my mother's side of the family. The majority of people that fought in the Civil War weren't even here, but some of them, and they wore blue except for one. Yeah, I think his name was Henry Clark, but he was nobody. Like, he was a layman on a farm,
mm-hmm.
you know, and got conscripted. Well, okay.
Yeah.
No, he was. But the point to me is what both groups had in common in the city of New Orleans was they weren't from there. That's why I got talked sick about of it. That before. And it's not because I'm telling people not to visit New Orleans. Oh, please do. Okay. But with that, leave your ideology elsewhere. Come and have a good time and get the bleep out. I don't want to hear it. Do that BS somewhere else. Because that's not what New Orleans is about. If you don't like living around... I'm not saying there's no racism in New Orleans. There's racism everywhere, okay? But in general, I mean, you've been there quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get along with gays, with Vietnamese, because South Louisiana and South Mississippi, both of those states offer the Vietnamese asylum during the Vietnam conflict, War, yeah. especially the latter part. So there's a lot of Vietnamese specifically in New Orleans East, but there's also some in Metairie and Kenner. But you, bottom line, you can't get along with different types of people.
You're out.
This is the wrong city for you.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry the country's not like that, but don't bring it here.
Yeah. It's been interesting, man. It's been interesting to watch sort of this redefining of what Southern heritage is, this redefination of what, I mean, I think the definition of racism.
Define New Orleans.
Well, and yeah, New Orleans is a strange place to
tough to quantify.
To define. I mean, there's been a, you know, I think there's been a lot of liberal, quote unquote, progressive people that have moved there because of the music scene, because of the entertainment, and it's
definitely at the least a purple city. It leans heavily.
Well, I mean, it's just a different city, man. It's like I mean, it's just really hard.
Some people tell it. It's this out of control hellhole. You know, the entire. A lot of people tell me it was dirty. I'm like, well, where'd you go? Inevitably, Bourbon Street.
Oh yeah.
I'm going, okay.
I feel like
so you went Skid Row.
Yeah, I feel like New Orleans is like a beautiful controlled chaos.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's strange. It's strange, but it's also one of those strange cities in a place. It's sort of like the only other place that I can really. Put it on the same level, but also not. So bear with me here. It's like an Austin, Texas. It's this liberal holdout in a very conservative state, and it's not anything like New Orleans, but it's that same sort of diamond in the rough, if you will, depending on what your political ideology is.
I had a California Republican call me Hillary Clinton.
Oh wow!
Because of my policy platform. I'm like, really?
Wow. Well,
okay.
Interesting. Like, pray tell to that.
Okay. The very idea of me opposing things like drug testing welfare recipients is a non-starter for them.
See, okay? Now where does because that?
All right. Tell you what. You know what? We're going to sidebar. You know, we're going to hit pause on that, folks. And if you have ears to hear, by all means. But before we get into all that, no. Here's how this is going to go. Executive order. Okay? You are going to, I would love for the president to do this. And when I said he would struggle to define a good American earlier, it's not because I don't think he's a good American or I think he's a bad person. That wasn't the point of that. The point is, it's like Bill Gates trying to guess what people pay for things at the grocery store. Look up that video.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He has no clue.
And okay. How can you you can't really blame the guy.
No, it's dangerous for him to go shopping. I wouldn't let him.
No, he hasn't. No. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so with that, we're going to drug test, and I mean hair follicle test, United States Congress. And I mean the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. John McCain, I'm sure, gets a pass here because he's very ill, and we wish him well tonight, him and his family. He's being treated for brain cancer still, as I understand it. He's been in and out of Walter Reed, probably. But so we know what he's on. He's not of concern here. But the other, 434 people, isn't
it?
You're going to undergo a hair follicle test, or you will resign. okay? Or we can remove you from office. I mean, you lose your pension that way. But you can resign with some dignity if you know, and I'm being serious, folks, in case you can't tell by me going into the next. Resign if you want to keep some dignity if you know you're going to fail it. And you're not going to fool a hair follicle test. It's not going to happen. And yes, we'll do a same-day retest if you fail. Okay? But if you fail, you are being removed from office, losing pension. Okay? And they're going to vote for that. That resolution, hopefully Trump wouldn't, President Trump wouldn't have to do an executive order. But if they don't vote for the resolution, and when it does pass, because you know people will get behind this. If a serious campaign was mounted to make them do it, I mean, hell, I'm so serious about this. They've already had the votes for a number of years to call a constitutional amendment. We've passed an amendment to address something at one point in time before, such as slavery. Passed an issue saying, oh, no. Before you can vote to take away the benefits, EBT cards, like for my single mom sister many years ago.
Yeah.
I was 19 years old. But my brother and I, my parents were helping her through this. She was in school full time, was raising a child alone, working full time on top, and I mean full time, waiting tables. And she was on CHIPS.
Yeah.
There's a couple of, I don't know if that's a term for, you know.
Well, SNAP. Well,
she was on food stamps and I guess had an EBT card. I don't know. But the bottom line is here, I'm not even going to let y'all get to that point, though, of addressing this. No. You're going to talk about taking away their grocery money, homeboy? No. You are going to be drug tested because you guys act high. You talk about a $32 trillion Medicare for all. You got a 28-year-old congressional candidate being taken seriously by her saying that's not a problem. Okay, now she did make a good point about eternal war. La guerre pour toujours, as the French say. But I believe, right?
I don't speak French. Probably close enough.
La guerre pour toujours, I think. It means the forever war. She made a good point about that. Okay, but our national debt is $20 trillion. We talked about this. Yes, we need to get out of the warfare, eternal warfare, but no. A $32 trillion expansion is not okay. All right. It's just not.
Yeah.
There are business savvy ways to do this. People are like, well, I thought you said you were socially liberal. Indeed. My idea is rather than continuing to act insane like they are, the definition of insanity has been said, by 70 million people claim to have, been the one to say that. But the bottom line is, that they keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Mm. And they're not doing it with their little darlings asses. Michael Moore made a great point when he showed up and was saying, hey, you're going to have your kids sign up to enlist. This was many years ago. Takers, though. I know that shocks you. Oh, so you're not willing to send your little darlings to get blown in half. You're just willing to send somebody else's.
So your idea to drug test, like full on serious, is sort of in response to even the audacity to implement drug testing for welfare recipients. It's almost...
You could insert either as my number one here, okay? Number two, no, you guys are high.
Literally.
You have zero integrity. You never went to D.C. I think Richard Nixon was right in his final book, Beyond Peace. Great book. And he addressed pragmatically things like Nixon care and Obamacare. He said, I'm not so sure the government has any place trying to fix these problems in the first place because I don't think they could do it. But he did address it. But, and looking at these programs, there was a certain amount of, hey, we need to do this to invest in these communities. It was a great thought. I think it is safe to say that the status quo welfare state has failed. Okay? It has failed people. Forget the money for a second. And you look at, and I'm not endorsing segregation, that is not the point here, okay? But shortly after integration, when we had to break up some very good all-black schools. Now, I know you're like, no, duh, the schools emerged. Okay, but they also transferred people. And with that, Lyndon Johnson with the Great Society, he really did a number. Is extending these programs and not really helping people in the long run. I'm talking about teaching people how to fish here, not giving them a fish. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not cutting off the money. No, let's divert this into community-based businesses that the people can own shares in. It's going to have federal oversight, of course, but we're going to recruit. It's going to be a decent career where you get educated like beat cops, the Bobbies in England, where they get a 2-year degree, at the very least, a 2 to 4 year degree on how to serve your community, which is what you are there to do as, yes, a law enforcement officer. Okay. And they're, you know, I'm talking, yes, this is radical, but in my mind, it is at least a, yeah, sure, call it a roll of the dice, if you will, but my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. You're not rolling the dice with anything but other people's futures and their children's futures and their children's futures by continuing to do the same thing. It is not.
Come you on. Know, no, it's interesting you bring that up because.
Have you ever been to Section 8 housing?
Well, I mean, I grew up.
Upgrade it, renovate it.
I just grew up just north of Detroit and I went to school downtown, so I'm fairly aware. We take
better care of animals.
Yeah. Look, there's something that's floating around right now that I think freedom of information has made it illuminating for me, at least, to see, because it's easy for me or people in my place or people that maybe don't research quite as much. I mean, we do this a couple times a week, and it allows us to really bat some ideas around and do.
Well, I know we're constantly reading because we constantly, usually, it's rare that a day goes by.
Exactly. So
exchanging ideas, or at the very least, exchanging information.
Yeah. So I'm not a huge social media guy. However, I have been enjoying Reddit as of recently. And look, it's just as savage as any other social media platform. But the one thing that you can do is you can find left.
I figured your Bobby Kennedy loving ass would find a home over there.
Look, here's the thing. I find left-leaning and right-leaning forums, not alt-right, not like Antifa left, really just kind of Republican, conservative, liberal, progressive, Democrat. And I literally can look at it side by side or from one article to the next. And it's interesting to see there's another sub called like late stage capitalism, et cetera. And I think it's Yeah, it's
if I hear one more person left of center rant about capitalism, I'm serious. I'm not gonna be able to keep down what little lunch I had.
Well, okay, so okay,
we don't know capitalism. We know crony capitalism.
That's all we do know. But it's hard not to correlate the two when you haven't seen theoretical capitalism working.
No, my idea for to cut them off at the pass, not to interrupt you, off at the pass. I'm not talking about crony capitalism when I'm talking about community-based businesses.
Sure.
Yes, we have federal oversight, and I'm talking about the people owning those shares.
100%. So
not some but fat cats like, yes, what President Obama did with Solyndra was wrong.
Yes. So what the one theme that continues
your dollars down the tube.
Yeah. The one theme that we continue to see, or I continue to see, especially on the internets, the interwebs, is this idea that Republicans.
Did I say President Obama, by the way?
I
meant president.
Oh no, I think he's a president.
He is owed that respect.
Yeah, I think he's a president.
Okay.
The continued thread that you see is that the Democratic Party, the progressive sort of values, instill this stagnation in, let's say, the welfare recipient population. I'm not categorizing color, race, anything. I'm just saying, in the welfare recipient population, the progressive platform tends to stifle any upward growth through class. So let's just pretend there's classism in the United States.
There's class in America.
Believe it or not. And that it's the continued reception or the continued garner of these welfare programs, disability, SNAP, CHIP, EBT, whatever it is, and that it's those policies, it's the free handout policies that keep people in place where they're at. And
do you know the biggest recipient group of social aid? Just across the board, any kind in America is?
Like rural white people?
The veteran population.
Okay. All right. Well, I was off by, I don't even know how to quantify being off, but I was wrong.
I mean, they might be a bunch of clampets.
They could be.
Crackers or honkies, whatever you want to say. I mean, do you want to say either any of those?
I mean, look, at the end of the day, I don't, to me, it doesn't matter who it is. I think,
but you don't like, you're not, so you're not comfortable with the term Clampets then.
Clampett, I actually, to be honest,
never... Jed Clampett, the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I just
old slur, yeah. Which I find that yes, I do love it. So
that's fine, Clampett.
But all just right. you gotta say it like the Reverend, a bunch of damn Clampets.
Clampets. All right.
I mean, I all right. You know what? Fine.
I completely forgot about that one, but.
I feel you like a toothache, Nick. I'm not making any jokes anymore.
No, it's fine. I think
over with.
No. So what we're seeing here? So the Republican sort of these Republican forums, conservative forums, are kind of professing that. Listen, what's that?
How would you know?
How would I know?
Reddit visiting.
Oh well, I mean it's fairly clear which. The direction that these subs are going in terms of comments and articles that they're talking about. So
you do realize that's a leftist.
Oh yeah, but it's super leftist. But I mean, they still have conservative subs that are there and Republican subs. And I quite frankly
ever have concern trolls.
Oh, dude, there's trolling.
Are you familiar with that variant of troll?
Well, no. Listen, here's the thing with those conservative subs for the subreddits. I actually you need like an X amount of. Upvotes and karma and shit like that in order to even so I've posted in the conservative subs before just in response to something and the moderator of that sub doesn't even let it go through, so it's fairly isolated, although it's open for everyone to read, so it's a little frustrating in that sense, but it definitely keeps down the trollism. I guess there's quite a lot of a little bit more thought that goes into some of the comments.
A concern troll is someone who gets across they're doing one of two things. They're just trolling for the sake of trolling, which is often the case, or they're actually trying to make a point in that they'll make remarks saying, well, my fear is that, and they'll give a protracted series of statements on what could possibly be the actual good that President Trump is doing. And I'm just throwing that out there. When really they're saying quite the opposite.
Ah, I see.
It's very cheeky.
It's snarky. To be honest, I don't see a whole lot of that. I think it's either pretty right or pretty left. But getting back to the point there, sorry, I was losing my train of thought there, that a major theme from these subs is that, listen, it is actually the conservative Republican platform that will help people break through in terms of their status. Now, where it becomes problematic to me is how we go about doing this. Because, listen, I've lived in some crazy places. In fact, in Colorado here, I've lived in the lower socioeconomic neighborhood. Unfortunately, I don't say unfortunately, but the neighborhood's gentrifying a little bit, and we were able to find a place. And listen, it isn't that people are lazy. There are a handful of people that are, but for the most people are hardworking. What happens is
there goes the neighborhood, a bunch of damn Clampets showing up.
I know. What happens is there's an absolute lack of resource. So where you and I were able to resource for what? Oh, I'll explain. So where you and I have family members that we can look to in terms of like, how do I manage my finances? How do I apply for college? How do I even to the point find a job if I'm not, if I don't like college? We have these resources, we have this experience, we have this, for the most part, generational wealth that we can, a wealth of experience and resource, and sometimes financially, that we can look back to and we can use. A lot of these people, first generation immigrants, or people that have been caught in poverty for most of their life, don't have those resources to fall back on. And that's even more important, something that you're pressing on in your kind of last rant about building into the community, that those resources are so fundamentally vital to be able to move, not just work requirements for welfare or like, because all of a sudden we start coming up with solutions. Okay, well, what are we going to do to make people move out of poverty? And there's a lot of things, but there's also a lot of counterproductive things, and things like drug testing for welfare, as if that's going to make like a better person.
Well, I'm telling you right now, that's even beyond the point. That's pressing.
Well, it
I want the president to get a quorum, 434 people there, like it's a State of the Union. Cram, I don't even care if their seats being renovated, whatever. Hair follicle or resign.
Look,
John McCain gets a pass. Senator McCain gets a pass.
Listen, at the end of the day, that's a power grab more than anything. However,
not for me.
However, I do. No. Okay, I mean,
a power grab by the American people. No, for the less fortunate that are getting all the breaks. Okay, just think about that phrase for a second. Let that, put that in your pipe and look at folks. Yeah, the last fortunate get all the breaks. Okay.
Okay.
You go say, you trade places with them and live in Section 8 housing on $975 a month, folks.
Yeah.
That's good as a single individual without kids.
Well, I mean, don't even get me started on the absolute asinine amount of money that we would spend on just drug testing welfare recipients. But
I'm not even going there.
No, but it's real too. And look, there's a lot of things that I think we could do. I'm also
conduct real thing too.
It's
they don't suffer for it.
No, and listen,
I know we have royalty in this country.
I truly believe that it's hard to move out of poverty in this nation. I don't think it's easy. I don't think it's as easy as just lacing up your boots and hard work pays off. Because look. It's not like you can just walk over and grab a $10 an hour job and just walk your way out of poverty. I think some people do.
That's a silver bullet.
Look, some people are going to have the resources. Some people are going to have the intelligence to do it. Some people are going to have the drive to do it. But a lot of people have helped to figure out how to do it.
States for a new job with no money?
Ugh, I have. Yeah.
I've done it.
It's without resources, it is nearly impossible to do. Unless you have a little bit of luck sprinkled in there. I mean, I don't want to say anything's impossible. That's not the point, but...
Well, for me, and I paid it off that month, but it was a title loan on my car. Now, that was many moons ago. That was 2003.
Yeah, I mean, it's doable. But here's the other thing, too.
You better pay that off that month, though, folks, if you consider that last-ditch effort.
Yeah. The other part of that is resource fallback, too, right? So, some people, there's nothing. It's do or die. It is nothing else to lose. And being kind of cornered into that position, you can get results. There's also resource fallback, where it's not that I would ever want to go back and get help from my parents or go back and get help from family, but I also knew that I could take a risk to do something because I knew I had a stable family life that I could fall back on. And that's a huge resource, man. And again,
let's not pretend for a second. And don't roll your eyes here, cause I'm being serious, that life is fair. I get it. Okay. You and I didn't grow up with the resources of Trump's sons.
No,
the president's sons. Did we?
No.
Okay. I didn't grow up with the privilege that Donald Trump did of a small $1 million loan. Yeah, that was right. Back then. Okay. Now granted, he turned it. He's worth $4 billion today.
Allegedly.
Well, he claims to be worth $9 billion.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever it is.
Conservative status, that's, but regardless, okay.
It's a lot of money.
He's worth $1 billion.
It's a lot of money.
From $1 million to $1 billion. So I give him that. Let me rephrase. He earned that. But in the individual side of this, those of us that did not grow up, from the top to the puddle, the fountain of poo at the bottom, shit rolls downhill. It's a truism, folks. The reality here is that there's individuals that I don't want to make them dependent upon the state. Okay, they've got someone to fall back on, uncle or aunt. I prefer Aunt Sam because we're a nanny state. See what I did there? Gotcha. But I want to invest in people in the sense that we want you to learn a meaningful trade and be part of a safe community that you quite presently own a stake in, and it behooves you to invest in yourself, and your cops are going to be from there, your leaders. Yeah,
so it gives them it's another option. It
gives people, and go ahead and folks and snark it up, but it gives people hope that their lives mean something because everything around them is of them. And I do have a special place And if anybody finds offense in this, I'm sorry. I grew up in the Gulf South. Get over it. But I do have a special place in my heart for Black Americans, for the friends that I grew up with. And I worked in to renovate. It was my brother's company, but I worked day labor to renovate Section 8 housing in the Gulf South. And I had so many friends from this community anyway that my heart already went out. And then being a part of that and being a part of a winning Wednesday night ministry there at a completely separate time, but just feeding folks and playing ball. There was no, we weren't preaching to kids or anything. You know?
Yeah.
So just, I've lived it. Anybody wants pictures, I can produce them. I think I have a baby face now, minus the scars. I'm not stars. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't card me for soda, for Mountain Dew. Like, no, you don't need this. Mm-mm. So I look at this and I speak of it from a passionate perspective personally, as well as I'm looking to wrap up my economics degree at Penn State here. I'm trying, and again, I'm not wanting to be a broker or be a VC executive. I don't want that. I want to, yes, with Mod State, perhaps maybe through op-eds or whatever, or just appealing to representatives and senators to consider this sort of thing, or maybe the president would consider it. But I think we can safely, I've made the argument, quantify what continuing the status quo, and even worse, even more so that I know you're a nut job, that we want to get you some help, sugar. But to say that you want to just pump more money into the status quo and the same ideas, no. Okay, we're gonna put enough propofol on you to knock down an elephant, and we're gonna get some work done. That's my idea here about.
Yeah, and it's I don't think it's a inherently bad idea. I don't think. I mean, I think that if you were to ask people, is the status quo currently how we should continue? I think people want. I think the idea, especially on the left.
We need to know what that is.
Is to infuse more money into the system. But the problem is if that's just your solution and there's no...
That's crazy.
What is it? What does that mean?
We're 20
million
in debt.
No, I realize that. And so...
We need endless warfare.
Well, I think... We need this. Yeah, I think you also, if you're going to infuse that money there, even though it's taxpayer money, you do want an ROI, return on investment. And that's very cold in business. Like, but it is an ROI. Like, where can we get the best return on our investment? Obviously, a drug test isn't going to do that, or necessarily a work requirement.
Again, what are you going to do?
It's
feed people's kids.
Exactly. So there is no return on investment there. It's a net negative if you really do the math.
I see you're Mr. Potter now, and it's a wonderful life. Well, they're not my children.
At the end of the day, investing in the community and redoing the best you can to try to reshape culture in the culture of hope, not a culture to try to change people to be something different, but instill a culture of hope by doing exactly what you said, by getting that cash infusion into the community, something that people can believe in, to be part of and to have a stake in. And now there is no stake in community.
For the white community, let's remember, unless it's my head messing up again here, correct me if I'm wrong, but an overwhelming majority of mass shootings, which I consider to be domestic terrorism, have been committed by white males.
Mm-hmm.
WASPs. Okay? White Anglo-Saxon persons, primarily.
WASPs.
And through the Rust Belt, the incredibly tragic opioid epidemic that's been going on there has again largely affected. Now, it's not been just males in this case, but the white community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, don't think for a second this wouldn't help them.
No, it would. It would. This. Yeah. This. This transcends the idea of poverty and giving hope in a community and giving a stake in a community. Doesn't just stop at one race or one gender. It transcends.
In case anybody's wondering, yes, my Roman Catholic faith. You're damn right. It affected my view on how government resources could be applied because somebody, somewhere, some way, from someplace, needs to stop saying, "Hey, we need to do something," And okay, well then let's do something. Mm-hmm. I'll pen a white paper that y'all can sign on to, and let's get something in a different vein, a different direction. Okay, there's 340 million people estimated in this country. We can find a talent. Mm-hmm. There are people out there, okay, in every community, every sector, all walks of life, of all indoctrinations, of many different faiths. This is possible. I believe it's not only intellectual laziness, it's gambling with the future of the country. And I'm sorry when even half of the country can't be bothered to vote. If you couldn't be bothered to vote, I couldn't possibly begin to care about what you think about the problems in the status quo.
Huh. I think it's fair. And just to elucidate on what I said earlier, I'm not saying that communities in poverty or people in poverty have no hope in their community. That's not the point. There is. But I think there can be more. I think there can be higher stakes, if you will, for everybody. And I think that was my point there.
I kind of stipulated that in my mind.
Unfortunately,
I don't think of you as that kind of a thinker. And I know there's been some touchy things here said tonight, and people going, okay, forget our backgrounds, forget who we are for a moment here, and close your eyes and imagine us as two individuals talking about this that belong to whatever you identify yourself with, just for a moment, and take this as something that. Yeah, I get on here, and a lot of times I kid around. I like to be a smart ass in what I write a lot of times, just because it helps me get it out onto the paper, if you will, and express the idea overall. But yeah. I it's come to the point where I don't find it funny. I'm being quite sincere when I look at things like this and go, okay, victory is the absence of defeat. Not saying that's across the board for everything, and it's not me being cynical. It's me being pragmatic and going, okay, if we can George Washington this thing, you know, he lost more battles than he won during the Revolutionary War, but it was smart because he refused to get engaged in a single big, you know, slugfest with the Royal Army mm-hmm. because he knew they couldn't withstand it. He just kept the army alive.
Yeah,
that's why the Trenton deal, the Delaware River deal, was against the Hessians. It wasn't Trenton, but. It was so daring.
Yeah.
But the song remains the same here. This is something that is doable. But to actually appoint these or vote in these cabinet heads and to find the right people to do this, yes, there's got to be federal oversight. And we got to have the right people that actually vote this in. So we need a clean house. Yeah. Either term limits. Well, actually, no. Drug test, period. But yeah, we need to consider a number of things that I don't necessarily like. I don't like the idea of having to have Trey Gowdy go home if he wasn't resigning. My proposal is 2 Senate terms, 6 House terms. That's 12 years. Hmm. I think that's long enough.
I agree with you.
Because we got too many people that need to go home.
Yeah. Well, it becomes a status quo of a perspective as well. This is the life you live. This is the world you live in. And you can make the argument that some people are cut out for it and some people aren't. But, hey, there's 350 million people in this country?
I think it's us, man, 335, 340.
Splitting hairs here. The point is there's plenty of talent out there. There's plenty of ideas. You know what? Look, I've been guilty of not
voting. Don't know that a lot of it's in Washington, D.C.
Look, I've been guilty of not voting in the past. And when people told me, then your opinion doesn't matter in this situation if you didn't vote for it, I've always said, you're right. You're absolutely right.
It's not quite literally what I meant.
No, I realize that. But
the people that express rage to me specifically about it, and I'll say in this point, yes, I am primarily talking about the left, because I have a lot of friends on the left, and they gripe about the president. And I'm going, okay, if you voted, cool. I guarantee you, with 53% of the country not voting, you know quite a few people that didn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
We need to encourage en masse as Americans, and I don't need to be talking to everybody that, hey, you know, the election's tomorrow, and it is illegal for you to have any penalty at your job or in academia, in school, whatever, for going to vote.
Yeah, well, it really needs to be a national holiday and it needs to be off work. That's the first thing that needs to run off
in the presidency, because then there'd be an opportunity for a third party candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. That too. I think another podcast episode alone can be what we can do to sort of reform voting in this country in general, in terms of, do we need to go back to paper ballots? Do we need to have it on a weekend? Does it need to be national holidays? Everyone off? I mean, these are the things. Like, there's certain things that have been put into place to specifically stifle certain votes. I mean, it's gerrymandering's right there. We did gerrymandering once for an episode.
We also had some different thoughts on that, though. I mean, I think you're taking this a little farther in some areas than I would necessarily sign on with. But well, we're both kind of heading. We're pretty much heading in the same direction.
It's a similar direction. The
situation was discussed a little more in depth regarding gerrymandering, because there's kind of couple of ways to look at that.
Well, yes, I shouldn't say just all one side does the gerrymandering.
It's not as simple as who done it.
No, but there's very simple things to do, like move the day we vote, that will get more people to the polls, to keep it a day off, that everyone can go and vote.
Why a Tuesday?
I have no idea why Tuesday.
Don't throw a dart.
That's what happened.
Hey, we didn't hit the stripper this time. What day did it land on?
Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, come on.
I
said some things that I don't want people taking as cynical tonight. No, j'accuse, monsieur. No, I quite literally mean, and gosh, people overuse that word. There's a guy I know that I actually said, or didn't get it when I said, you literally say that word a million times a day. And he's like, what word? I'm going, holy shit. it's the like of this generation.
Literally? Literally.
Yes. Remember how our generation's coming up with like, you know? And you and I use those at times, but you know what I'm, you smell what I'm stepping in here.
Got you.
I dated a girl, a sweet girl, but she... inexplicably, being a young Presbyterian girl from South Mississippi, how did she get a Valley Girl accent? Riddle me that. And her family from here. She went, you know, yeah, I did it again. Her dad went to Mississippi State, like she did. Yeah, ag school, or as Alabama's most famous coach Bear Bryant put it, a cow college. One of those. And how did you get that? I don't know.
Oh, you adapt, right?
She adapted.
Adapted.
Anyway, you can't quite put that into words, because I don't know how did she adapt to what? Watching Charmed?
I don't know, man.
I love San Francisco. It's like so dreamy, you know.
Oh, it's an evolutionary biological thing to try to fit in. Maslow's hierarchy needs to be.
Don't judge me with your manners.
I'm sorry.
And Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There's that. You used Occam's razor the other night. Whoa.
Yeah, pulling out my psychology. That's just shit I read on the internet. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Cut me deep there.
Oh, boy.
Your words are hurtful.
Oh, sorry. Well, hey, man, we're about midnight here, 1 o'clock your time.
You know you really hurt me.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't. There's no way. I don't think there's any possible way.
We need to queue up Berlin's Take My Breath Away.
Oh God, I don't have that right here offhand, but I would. Oh, boy,
you bitch.
I'm sorry. Well, hey man, I think this was a rare one, and I like these kind of free thought, brainchild sort of podcast episodes that we have from time to time. I think we're going about 1,000 miles a minute in both of our heads, and it's going to take the listener a little bit to catch up, but it's a nice little stew, if you will, of a lot of thoughts that I think we've had over a long period of time. And
in case anybody didn't notice, I really had some things and I needed to get off my chest.
You did.
I wasn't funny tonight, but looks aren't everything, folks.
Look, sometimes you have those episodes, and I've had a couple of those in the past, recently actually, just to get them off your chest kind of thing. So I'm glad you had. What a better place to do it on the open interwebs for everyone to hear And now they get to hear your rants, and it's fantastic.
As one of my my godson would say, he asked my brother, "Uncle Michael, do you have the intranet?" And he's the same one. I told you about this little thug, and he was 2.5, 3 years old. And I love him. He's my godson. But he was getting just torn up, his little calves and ankles. He looked like he had the gout. They were so swollen, like the Michelin did. But he was getting so eaten up by fire ants and was looking down at them just yelling, "Hello! Hello!" And he's standing in the fire ant bed. Like, okay, young man.
this is not any of this works.
No, you need to move.
Oh, boy. Well, my friend, I got to work early. I think you do too.
I got to close again, but tomorrow's the day of obligation. It's the day of the Immaculate Ascension, I believe.
I don't know. That's your...
I have to go to confession anyway. I mean that in all seriousness. But I may have to confess and not remember. It's the day that Mother Mary ascended.
So not Immaculate Conception.
No.
No, the other.
It's a different mouth.
Huh. Well, you have to let me know. I don't know. I
don't know. So I may have to confess for not knowing what that is. But either way...
That's not the worst thing to confess.
Oh, you know me. It's certainly not.
It is certainly not. Well,
with that,
my friend, I also close tomorrow night, so we'll be in touch. And as always, it's an honor and privilege to do this with you, my friend. So until next time.
Au revoir.
We'll see you.